When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So for this next part, I think I'm going to speak just a little louder because the rain is so loud and I'm not going to complain about that. But I don't want to kick myself later when I go and edit this. And I feel like maybe my voice is drowned out. I'm not sure. But this was written by Howard Loxton and the illustrations were by Peter Warner. And this is a copyright, I assume, or a by Long Meadow Press. And I looked on the back and this was retailed for like $2.95. So it's very nice. Alright. We're gonna get into the table of contents. It's a very important part of a book. We've got the cat family. We're going to get into that. Cat and man. The domestic cat. The cat in the home. Raising kittens. Shows and showing. Breeds and pedigrees. And then a guide to cat breeds. Hairless cats. Short-haired cats. Foreign short hair. Exotic short hair. And long-haired cats. As well as an index at the end. So, we're gonna get right into it. The cat family. So, the cat family here, you're probably thinking right off the bat, like, orange, you know, orange hair, the black cats, the tabbies, the calicos. No, we're talking about the early cat. So, we'll read this part. We won't read everything, but we'll read this first part. The first members of the cat family evolved 8 to 10 million years ago, long before the appearance of man. Paleontologists describe a weasel-like carnivorous animal which they called mysis. It lived about 50 million years ago, had a long body and short legs, and was probably the ancestor of the dog and of the bear, as well as the predecessor of the cat. 10 million years later, one branch of its descendants had evolved into the first cat-like carnivore. It was another 10 million years before the first dog appeared. And eventually, there emerged the whole range of animals, which we know as the cat family. The first cat of the 40 million years ago was which we know as... The first cat of 40 million years ago was an old world animal which must have been extremely well suited to its environment, for it remained relatively unchanged at a time when other mammals were developing rapidly. Known to us as Dinicetus, it was about the same size as a lynx and looked very like modern cats. Its canine teeth, however, were much larger and its brain was much smaller. The descendants of the seem to have branched in two directions. In some, the canine teeth became even larger. This group includes the genus Machairodus, or saber-toothed cats, and it is possible that the Dinicetus should really be classed as one of them, and that there was an early common ancestor for this and the other later cats. The second group had smaller canine teeth and included the Felidae, the family to which all modern cats belong. At Rancho La Brea in Southern California, close to Los Angeles, is a group of asphalt pits from which many examples of prehistoric big cats have been recovered. In Pliocene times, I'm so sorry for any paleontologist people, there were water pools lying on top of the pools of tar which oozed from beneath the ground. Small animals which came to drink were often trapped in the tar which, as it dried, became like a huge sheet of tacky flypaper. Old or injured carnivores or young and inexperienced ones who thought that they had found some easy prey in the small animals caught in it were themselves stuck fast and their bones preserved in the asphalt. The North American species, Cimolodon californicus, one of the most advanced saber-tooths, has been found in the greatest numbers. The long canine teeth, which curved beyond the lower jaw when the mouth was closed, were used not to bite prey, but to deliver a violent stabbing blow. Also found at Rancho La Brea, although in only about 1/13 the number, perhaps because it was more intelligent, are the remains of the Felis atrox, or American lion. This was a close relation of the European cave lion, which survived until the 5th century BC, when some of them are said to have attacked the baggage train of Xerxes when his army invaded Macedonia. The last dated Californian Cimolodon lived about 13,000 years ago, but the saber tooth disappeared from Europe very much earlier. The saber tooths were adapted to hunt animals like the mammoths and the mastodons, who relied chiefly on their size and thick hide for their protection, but had little defense against the saber tooth's stabbing teeth. When these giant land animals died out, the highly specialized big cat also appeared. It is from the less specialized descendants of Dinicetus, the Felidae, that the 36 species of cats we know today have developed. The members of the cat family have adapted and diversified to fit a wide range of climates and environments, but they are all carnivores and are lithe to efficient hunters. Some are solitary. Others, the lion in particular, often live in large groups. They range considerably in size, from the massive tiger to the 4.5 flat-headed cat. 4.5-pound flat-headed cat. In the past, the cat family has been divided into various different genera. The recent research into extinct forms suggests that the differences between them have little significance, and many authorities now group them in the same genus, with just one exception, the cheetah, which is placed in a genus of its own, Acinonyx. This is the first time I'm seeing any of these words, so I think it's obvious. Because it is distinct from the other cats in a number of ways, among them that its claws do not retract. The big cat once considered a separate genus, Panthera. Panthera can roar, while the other smaller ones have higher pitched voices. They have to take a breath between each purr, while the small cats can purr almost continuously, and they have larger heads in proportion to their bodies. The lion, Felis leo, is the strongest of the cats. The long body rests on short legs and is powerfully muscled. Unlike other cats, most male lions have a luxuriant mane covering the head and shoulders, and continuing as a fringe. It may be silvery blonde or all shades through reddish brown to black, and is not fully grown until the lion is about 5 years old. Females, who have no mane, are also smaller and lighter in build, but it is they who frequently make the kill when hunting. Lions are sociable animals and live in a family-based pride consisting of an older male, several females, adolescent males, and cubs, which will usually number about 8, but may be as many as 30, where there is open terrain with plentiful prey. Their hunting is often carefully planned, with one party chasing a herd of herbivores into an ambush formed by the rest of the pride lying upwind. Lion cubs are born with spotted markings which fade as they mature, although they may persist in adulthood, particularly in lionesses. They begin to be weaned at about 8 weeks, but are not able to catch their own prey until they are about 2 years old. Because they are the last in the pride to eat, many cubs die in these early years. Lions once ranged across much of Europe, Africa, and Western Asia, but are now limited to Central Africa, Kruger National Park in South Africa, and the Gir Forest Sanctuary in Northwest India, which is the only place where the Asiatic lion is now known to survive. The tiger, Felis tigris, ranges from Central Asia and northern eastern China through Malaya and India to parts of Persia and as far as Bali. The Siberian tiger, long-haired and the largest of its species, may measure over 13 feet from nose to tip of tail, but the average tiger, like the average lion, is probably just under 9 feet overall. They usually lead a solitary life, although there have been many reports of tigers hunting in pairs, and are mainly nocturnal. Litters usually consist of 2 to 4 cubs, although there may be more, and the young follow their mother hunting when they are only 5 weeks or so old. As they get older, the area in which they hunt extends, and the cubs play an increasingly large role in the kill until the family splits up when they are 2 to 3 years old. Markings vary considerably from animal to animal, and an unusual form of white tiger has occasionally occurred. This is not an albino, but an extreme dilute. The ground color is cream-marked with light gray or brown stripes. The pads and the nose leather are pink, and the eyes are ice blue. The leopard, Felis pardus, is the third largest of the big cats, averaging about 7.5 feet from nose to tail tip. With the exception of the domestic cat, they have a wider geographical distribution than any other member of the cat family, ranging through most of Africa, south of the Sahara, across Asia, from Arabia and the Caucasus to China and Korea and into Indonesia. They usually hunt alone, although groups of up to 6 have been reported. Where hunted by man, they are almost entirely nocturnal, but elsewhere may be seen in early mornings and late evenings. They are good climbers, and their spotted fur provides an excellent camouflage among dappled leaves. In the case of the black or melanistic variety, commonly known as the panther, the spots can still be distinguished in certain lights. When hunting, they can often lie on a tree branch waiting to drop on prey beneath and then carry their kill, which can be as large as themselves, up into the tree, lodging it in a fork out of the reach of thieves. When prey is plentiful, as for instance, my goodness, this is going on and on and on and on, and that's okay. But we're getting into the snow leopard, the clouded leopard, the jaguar, the cheetah, the bobcat, the puma, the lynx, the ocelot, the carousel, caracal, the Temex golden cat, the flat-headed cat, the European wild cat, the jaguar rondi, and let's read the last page of this section. Maybe it will tie everything together, or maybe it will confuse us. And it starts in the middle of the sentence, that's okay. There are isolated instances and rarely persist, even evolutionary change takes many generations. When man is around to control mating, the situation is very different, and by carefully nurturing and perpetuating mutant variations, he has created the wide variety of breeds which characterize many of the domestic animals we know today. Cats have lived more independent lives than any other domestic species and do not display the enormous range of size, shape, and color that has been produced in, say, the dog. But varieties of domestic cats now exist which, in shape, coat, and color, would never have been spontaneously created in the wild. However, uncertain we may be of the genealogy of Felis catus, there is no doubt at all that the breeds represented in this book owe their existence in their present form entirely to the hand of man. That's insane. But, okay, cool. So, we have the ability to go to cats and man. I don't know if we're interested. Let's see. I think we should just go directly to page 27, and that is the domestic cat. And maybe we'll end it there, as far as the reading portion goes. Because there's a lot of cool pictures to describe, and I feel like we'll miss out on them if we don't. We don't get into it, so let's do that. And yes, my dog is officially at rest. The domestic cat. If you are to keep your cat happy and healthy, it is important that you think of it as a cat, an animal with natural instincts and character. And do not endow it with human ideas and reactions. Any animal reared by humans in a domestic environment will to some extent become imprinted towards them and adopt habits which would be alien to it in the wild. But cats which go feral and readily survive on their own are an indication of how light their veneer of domestication is. Their natural cunning and resourcefulness enable them to take advantage of domestic opportunities, but the pattern of their behavior is little changed from that of their wild relations. Sociologists and anthropologists have shown how close to the surface the primitive instincts and behavior forms are in ourselves, so it is not surprising that this should certainly be true of the cat. The cat is a carnivore and a predator, and its body is a very efficient machine developed to surprise, capture, consume, and digest the animals on which it lives. It is not designed for prolonged bouts of activity, and a cat will tire more rapidly than a human, but for its size, it is tremendously strong, as you will know if you have ever tried to hold a cat that is determined to struggle free, or seen a cat smack really hard with one of its forepaws. A cat's spine, though very like our own, allows it to bend and arc its back in a much more pliable way than man's skeleton permits. It can turn its head almost 180 degrees, and its forelegs can be moved without undue strain in almost any direction, making the whole body extremely flexible. This versatile frame is operated by powerful muscles, which are especially strong in the back legs, giving a powerful spring, and in the neck and shoulders. The muscles take considerable strain, but the heart and lungs cannot, which is why cats cannot sustain a high level of activity for very long. Conrad Lorenz has pointed out that a half-hour leisurely stroll with a human will tire out even a strong and healthy adult cat. The chest cavity of a cat is relatively small for its size, and consecutively, its heart and lungs are too. Compare the breathing of a relaxed or sleeping cat with your own, and you will find that even when they are making no effort of any kind, the cat is still breathes more than twice as many times a minute as you do yourself. Its heart rate will range from about 110 to 240 beats per minute, and in kittens, will race as fast as 300 beats per minute. While these hard-working organs are comparatively small, the cat's digestive system takes up a proportionately large amount of space. In the wild, a cat may go for considerable periods between meals, and so there has to be a space for it to eat large quantities when it has killed its prey and to absorb it slowly during a period which may be without hunting success. The part of the brain that controls the cat's mobility is particularly well developed to give lightning reaction to in all areas of muscular movement, balance, and directional control, but a responsive and well-tuned body is not enough to make a successful predator. The sensory system feeding information to the brain must be efficient and highly developed to enable it to catch its prey and elude enemies. Except for taste, which is of minor importance in the battle of survival, the cat's senses have great range and sensitivity. The cat has a considerable vocal range, from the chirping noises used when a mother talks to her kittens to the full-throated call of a Siamese on heat. Marvin Clark, a blind musician whose hearing was ultra-sensitive, believed that he could distinguish 100 different sounds in the cat's vocabulary. Most cat owners are unlikely to identify even a quarter of that number of different words, but there are many easily recognizable sounds which become established in human feline conversation, including the familiar meow, which is used when talking to humans, but rarely to another cat. Various requests and demands, greetings, and expressions of satisfaction. Even perhaps a handful of swear words soon become familiar. But it's so funny because I'm like, yes, this is true. I feel like I'm cussed at often by my cats. Physical expressions, particularly positions of the tail and the ears, will also convey a great deal of information, particularly about the cat's emotional state. An erect tail and ears show that a cat is happy and interested. A waving tail is also a sign of pleasure, but if it lashes from side to side, this demonstrates annoyance, and a twitching tip of the tail shows contained irritation. The purr of a cat is a sign of pleasure, although a deeper and harsher purr may be made by cats in pain or when they are particularly apprehensive, perhaps in a determination to suppress the agony by a process of self-delusion. Oh no. Adult cats often purr on several notes, but sometimes the purr is silent to human ears, although its vibration can be felt. The mechanism of purring is only beginning to be understood. Investigations by a French veterinarian show that it is produced by the vocal cords and that the muscles of the larynx contract rhythmically to produce the throbbing sound. It is possible that the resonance is produced from the diaphragm. So then they go on to talk about taste, smell, and territory, as well as hunting. So, I don't know. We'll skip over those. See, also have attack, defense, it shows a picture of a brown cat and a gray cat, and it says, and they're kind of having a little tiff, and it says, a real fight cannot always be avoided. And this last piece here says, a taste for order, and I think we should read that. Cats are fastidious creatures. They like to keep them to themselves and their surroundings clean. Feces are meticulously buried and the coat is kept scrumptiously clean. In fact, grooming takes up a great deal of the cat's time. It can reach most of its body with its tongue, which acts as both sponge and comb. And its head and the back of its neck are kept clean by wetting the forepaws and using them as a scrubbing brush. They do not like loud noises or sudden movements and will usually take cover if they are present during a domestic row, even when it has nothing to do with them. They are creatures of habit and like to have their regular time for each activity, especially meals and being let in and out, and regular places for sleeping, eating, or watching the world. If they are not pleased if the furniture is rearranged or their regular routes are blocked, although they will study all the developments with wary interest. There is not much a cat will miss. Cats are not without a sense of humor and will share and even play a joke, but they will not relish being the butt of one. So that was kind of our little intro to this book. And then, you know, there's more, but we're skipping to it. Skipping through it, I should say, and we're skipping to A Guide to Cat Breeds. I think this is where we will finish the majority of our time. Just looking through all these cute little cats. I wish I could show it, of course, but these are all cats you can look up, and you could always buy this book. I know I got it off. I know I didn't get that. I got it as a gift. But I'm certain you'll be able to find this on ThriftBooks or Amazon. The ISBN is 0681418931. And again, it's the Illustrated Guide to Cats of the World. It's a great coffee table book. So it starts with hairless cats. I'll read the description here. It's just a short paragraph. It says, all the cats which in the past were described as hairless actually had at least a downy covering. In France, for instance, a pair of Siamese carrying the recessive gene for baldness regularly produced hairless offspring, which then mated together were found to breed true. The mutation has also been fixed in Canada by the breeders of the Sphinx. No hairless breed has been recognized by the GCCF, and although the Sphinx has been recognized by the Canadian Cat Association, the Crown Cat Fanciers Association, and the Cat Fanciers Association, the latter withdrew their provisional recognition in 1971. So there's the Mexican hairless cat, the Sphinx. And that's all that they show. So I guess these are the two hairless cats. This breed is believed to be extinct, the Mexican hairless cat. It's supposed to have been an Aztec breed. This breed was developed from a hairless male born to a white and black house cat. So I guess I can kind of see where they're like, you know, this is something that is more just a mutation, and then people tried to create a breed out of it. So it's interesting they start there. So next we have the short-haired cats, the standard tabby pattern. The tabby's other name of tiger cat suggests the once commonly seen form of regular stripes. The standard tabby has three dark stripes run down the spine, a butterfly pattern which can be seen across the shoulders, an oyster-shaped whorl appears on the flanks, and on the chest there are two unbroken narrow lines known as the mayoral chains. Legs and tail are regularly ringed, and the face carries delicate penciling running down to the base of the nose, while the cheeks are crossed by two or three distinct swirls. So check your tabbies, everybody. I love the brown tabbies. I don't know, they're so cute. Any brown cat is adorable to me. We've got the silver tabby short hair. We've got the spotted cat. They were one time common and were exhibited in the earliest cat shows. But they did not reappear on the show bench until 1960s. Yeah, they appear quite frequently in Greece and other parts of the Mediterranean. And we also have the Manx. A Manx, or Rumpy as they are sometimes called, is more than just a tailless cat. It has a special coat which is double, soft, and open like that of a rabbit, with a short, thick undercoat. The main characteristics are four British short hairs, but the head is larger, without approaching the snubby Persian type, with a long nose, not chubby cheeks, which maintain its roundness. And we've got the cream short hairs, the blue-eyed white short hairs. I've never had a cream or a white cat, but they're also so beautiful. Says cream short hairs are difficult to breed and are still comparatively rare. In Britain, a white cat used to be thought unlucky, although in the United States and several continental countries, it is considered to be a good omen. Everywhere today, white cats seem to be popular, but they are not easy to find. And it shows their cute little chubby faces in a little diagram. I definitely will be posting on my Instagram. So I think I should probably post some of these pictures, post the book, and so you know where to find me, the ASMR garden. Over there, check my stories, so I'll have that over there. And we also have an orange-eyed white short hair, an odd-eyed white short hair, and a black short hair. A third variety of white short hair has one blue eye and one orange eye. That would be the odd-eyed white short hair. And there's also the British blue. It does not mean a bright sky blue, but a bluish gray. The coloring is a dilute form of black, and according to the British standard, may range from light to medium blue, but it must be a very level in color, with no tabby markings, shading, or white hairs anywhere. This breed, it has a reputation for gentleness and placidity. They are also extremely intelligent. Okay, moving on to a word I can't pronounce. That's where I love to be. The chartreux, it's gotta be. We've got an airplane. Let's send positive energy for a good landing. We also have the Maltese, a blue cream short hair. Oh, these are so pretty. A Maltese is, it's from time to time been used elsewhere to signify a blue coloration. These cats were either light or dark blue, and some had white spots on the chest. I don't know, that wasn't as interesting, but this blue cream short hair says it's a difficult to breed variety. Okay, so my dog is a little bit closer, so that means we're nearing the end, because only so much can be done. We've got a smoke short hair, a bicolored short hair, and a tortoiseshell short hair. Tortoiseshell is also... Yeah, you love cats, don't you? Even though he lives with three of them. And then we also have the tortoiseshell and white short hair, or calico short hair. So that's interesting. It's been confirmed to me that calico is really just tortoiseshell with the white, I suppose. And we also have the American wire hair and the Bombay, which is a recently developed variety created in the United States. And these are like a red cat. Like, they really almost look like a bobcat to me. They look a little larger. Yeah. They look like very active cats when they are active. Next is the Russian Blue and the Brown Burmese. Oh my gosh, just some stunning, stunning cats. I don't know if I have a Russian Blue, but I do have a gray cat. And I do love her. She's all the things that people and books have described Russian Blues as. Russian Blues have a reputation for gentleness. They are sometimes very shy and usually have very quiet voices. So that it may be difficult to know when a queen is on heat if you do not know the cat well. However, they become very attached to their owner, so that is not likely to create problems. They seem to adapt well to life in apartments. Now we have the Blue Burmese, a chocolate Burmese or a champagne Burmese. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh, just beautiful, beautiful, I guess, engineered animals. But the lilac Burmese, also beautiful, and a red Burmese. And a whole bunch of other Burmese. I mean, there's just, the list goes on and on and on. We've got blue cream, we've got chocolate torty. It is honestly, I'm like, they sound so good to eat. A lilac torty Burmese. A seal. Okay, so now we're getting into Siamese cats. They should have a very distinctive head shape. Yeah, we got the Seal Point Siamese, Blue Point, Chocolate. You know, there's going to be all these. I guess points are the feet, the tail, the ears, the mouth, the snout, sort of. Oh, this little Red Point Siamese looks like a little mouse. Oh my goodness. This is really such a good book to have, even if your kids really like, or your niece, nephew, your friends, whatever, they really like cats. This is a really nice book to go through, illustrations. We're just going through, seeing if anything catches our eye. There's also the Japanese bobtail that was on the front cover. It's an ancient breed. First centuries in Japan. It's not like any other cat. It neither fits into the foreign nor the domestic body type. For although sturdily built and well-muscled, the back legs are longer than the fore legs. But if the cat is relaxed, they are usually kept bent, so the back remains on an even level. Soft and silky coat. And it sheds less than most other breeds. There's also the Cornish Rex, or the Devon Rex, the German Rex, and the exotic short hair. Then we get into the long-haired cats. Okay, long-haired are the kind shown in domestic breeds. Does not exist in any of the wild members of the cat family. Although cats like the northern lynx and the snow leopard have longer hair than cats in warmer lands, they obtain protection from cold by having thicker rather than longer fur, and in particular, a much thicker undercoat. It seems that the long hair in the domestic cat has developed from mutant types, and the domestication has made it continuance possible, for it would be a handicap rather than an asset to the wild cat. I also have a long hair Maine Coon. So we have the Turkish. Oh, and here comes the Maine Coon. There's no truth in the story that this breed is a result of mating between raccoons and the domestic cat of the early American settlers. Such a coupling is biologically impossible. Okay, well, I hadn't even really considered that. But, we've got the brown tabby long hair, another grumpy looking little guy, a blue tabby Persian looking fabulous, expensive, bougie, red tabby long hair, a cream tabby, a red self long hair, a pekka face. Okay, I don't know what that means. Oh, that's just a cute little cat there. Oh, you'll have to look that up if you're really wondering, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. That's a cute cat. We've got a shaded silver, a mask silver, a blue chinchilla, oh my goodness, a shaded cameo, a smoke cameo. Imagine you meet like a cat person who has a smoke cameo cat, Persian, and you like mistake it for a shell cameo. We got the tabby cameo, a tortoiseshell cameo, and a black long hair, black Persian. That's a very, very stunning cat. We have a blue long hair, and I wonder if this cat is gentle, because, you know, whenever I see a Persian cat, I think of sass, but I know that's not true. We'll skip all these different variations. The Persian cat. See if there are any other types of cat that we may be missing. We've got the Himalayan cats as well, going through all these different points for and then there's the Balinese. They are like furry, but then they have their feet that stay, you know, they stay short-haired. Very cute. It's the opposite of my long-haired cat's haircut that he gets. And then we have the Burman cat. Again, don't know the very differences of it, but it's there for us. Oh, last thing, we've got the ragdolls, and we've got the Somali. So those are the cats that we have. And we've made it to the index. That has been our book through of the Illustrated Guide to Cats of the World. It was fairly simple, fairly straight to the point. Not as long and as many parts as the other books that we have gone through, but this has been in my book basket for far too long, and I wanted to pull it out. I hope that you enjoyed it. It's kind of my first episode back in front of the mic in quite a long time, so I hope I did it justice. I don't know. I hope the sound is good. We'll find out when I get to the editing. Alright, everybody, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week, a wonderful day. I hope you are okay in this world.